Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this morning is written in John chapter 12, beginning with the 20th verse. Please rise for the reading of the sermon text. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. So far, our reading. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach Holy Week, we are reminded of our detestable sin and our great need of the Savior. We thank you for sending your Son and that his death was like a fruitful seed. Strengthen our faith in him. Assure us of our forgiveness. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I think we're all very acquainted with Pastor Lipak's Grapefruit Ranch. Pastor and his wife have been very generous in sharing their produce with us here at church, although I'm starting to get the impression that they might have more grapefruit than they need. Maybe it's all the boxes that were up with the sign, please help yourself to grapefruit from Lipak Ranch. It's amazing how all of that fruit can come from only one tree. And that tree only came from one tiny little grapefruit seed. If that seed wasn't planted, then there wouldn't have been any fruit. For the Lipak Ranch to exist, it was absolutely necessary for that seed to be planted. In our text, Jesus uses a parable about a seed of wheat to show how his death was necessary and fruitful for us. He explained this parable because he knew that the time of his death had come. His death brought life to us, his fruit, and we follow in his death and resurrection. This reading is from Holy Week, the week leading up to Christ's death upon the cross. Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This Passover was different than other Passovers, however. Jesus knew that his upcoming death was very close. He had almost finished his journey to the cross. Some Gentiles at the feast wanted to see Jesus. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Greeks are non-Jews or Gentiles. After Jesus was born, some Gentiles, also known as the wise men, came to see him. Now, right before Jesus was crucified, some more Gentiles come to see Jesus. Just as with the wise men, much that surrounds these people remains a mystery. Why they want to talk to Philip is a mystery, but their purpose is obvious. They want to see Jesus. Philip doesn't immediately go to Jesus and tell him. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Philip's hesitation could be explained for a couple of different reasons. The Jews had a bias against the Gentiles, so they could have been reluctant to help non-Jews. They could have been afraid of the social stigma. Many Jews also thought that associating with Gentiles would cause ceremonial uncleanness. They also could have been worried about drawing attention to Jesus, since hatred against him seemed to be escalating. After they told Jesus, he answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." There were times when Jesus explained that his hour had not come. He told this to his mother Mary at the wedding in Cana. On a different occasion, he told his brothers, "My time has not yet come." But now, the hour had come for Jesus to bear the sins of the whole world, both of the Jews and the Gentiles. His death was necessary because we're sinners. Not only Jews, but all men are sinful. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sinful nature is dead in trespasses and sins. And since it's dead, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We can't help in any way. Our sinful nature detests God and doesn't want to obey him. We'd rather worship ourselves and follow the sinful ways of the world. We want to follow the world with all of its riches and pleasures rather than following our Savior. God is righteous and just. He demands punishment for sin. Our sinful, selfish hearts deserve punishment and hell. But despite what we deserve, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ told a parable to illustrate how his death was necessary. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." If a seed isn't buried in the soil to give its life for the plant, then there is no plant. It is absolutely necessary for the seed to be planted in order for the plant to grow. This parable isn't talking about a seed. It is, but not a physical seed. The seed is Jesus. He loves you and died for you so that you are his fruit. He also didn't stay dead, but rose again on the third day as a strong shoot, like a shoot coming out of a seed. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Jesus' death was fruitful and produced millions of children of God. His church is the fruit of his death. By his death, Jesus also defeated the devil. Jesus declares, "Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." The devil wants everyone to share in his punishment. He didn't want Christ to win salvation for all mankind. Through Christ's death, the devil is defeated. Through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. The devil now no longer has any say in our salvation. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Christ's hour upon the cross is also when he was glorified. When we think of glory, we might think of something powerful and mighty in appearance. Jesus refers to his time on the cross as the time when the Son of Man is glorified. The cross doesn't look glorious, but it reveals something about our powerful God. It shows us that God is loving and forgiving. Even though Christ's crucifixion looks like defeat, it is really a great victory over death and is redemption for mankind. After his parable, Jesus explained, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." The one who serves Christ must follow him. Following him requires hating your life. So how do you hate your life? Here, hating means turning away and separating yourself from earthly life. It's impossible to hold on to something that you hate with any sort of fondness or appreciation. Here, Jesus doesn't mean that it's wrong to live here on the earth or have money or own one of those cool dune buggies I see everywhere down here. And he also doesn't mean that you're supposed to hate your situation in life. Here, Jesus means that following him is an attitude of the heart. This change in heart happens when our sinful nature is crucified with Christ. In baptism, we die to our sinful nature and rise to a new life of faith. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ's death were baptized into his death? or rather, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Sin no longer defines you. You are a baptized child of God. Every day, we return to the forgiving waters of our baptisms, where we repent of our sins and live a new life of faith. You're a redeemed child of God. Die to sin. Live for Christ. Bear fruit. Tell others about the wonderful news of the gospel. We bear fruit in our lives of service to God and each other. Through Christ, the Father honors us. He sees us as his holy, dear children and faithful servants of his Son. Holy Week is almost upon us, where we remember what Jesus did for us, that he went to the cross for us. Jesus understood that his death was necessary. Just as a seed must be planted in order to produce fruit, it was necessary for Christ to die to produce spiritual fruit. His fruit is the church, which includes every believer in Christ. You are Christ's fruit. You are forgiven. You follow him as his obedient servant. You serve out of thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. In Christ, God the Father honors you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.